Well, good morning, and welcome to our roundtable panel for this Monday morning. It's the 22nd of December, and it's lovely to have you with us on this December morning. Yesterday, did you see? I didn't. Every once in a while, you see those subject headings, and then I don't read them. But then I wonder what they meant by it. But they said that it was yesterday was the shortest day of the year.
It was solstice.
Right, which I know that. But then for some reason, it was the shortest day of the year ever.
Oh.
Did you hear that? Like, ever. For some reason, there was something.
Sunshine.
You know, I was trying to finish my Christmas shopping yesterday, and I can testify to that. There just wasn't enough time, Joe.
It was.
Not
right.
Enough daylight to find your car in the mall park.
No, right. just ever. So I have to investigate on that. Anyway, good morning. Welcome to the program. We have a lot to talk about. It was a busy news weekend, and we have several issues to discuss, and we will do that. We welcome your comments, please. Roundtable at WAMC.org or WAMC.org/roundtable. And if you look at the post that is entitled 12/22/14 panel, you can just click right there and comment as directed. Let me introduce our panel to you. Alan is off this week. Alan is on vacation, so we'll miss Alan, but we just want you to know he's on vacation. So we have three bright, beautiful, wonderful people here who are many. In fact, you know all of them, actually. Normally, they're just here on different days. Times Union Associate Editor Mike Spain is here. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Very nice to have you here. College Thanks. Of St. Rose Communications Professor Mary Alice Molgar joins us. Good morning, Mary Alice.
Good morning.
And political consultant Libby Post is with us.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm just fine.
Excellent. Missed you. Nice to see you. So
yes,
very
missed
happy
you too,
back.
Honey.
All right. So let us talk again. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Okay. So let's get into the big news, of course, this weekend was a tragic story out of New York City, the killing of two New York City police officers, which not only has us mourning the deaths of these two young men, but also has a police force divided, a city divided, and many questions as to the dynamic between the city of New York, the mayor, and even the governor, and police officers. Faced with the first targeted killings of New York City police officers in years, police leaders ratcheted up precautions for their vast patrol force on Sunday, as officials described the predatory final moments of a gunman bent on killing officers. The man circled the car parked just off Myrtle Avenue. This was in Bed-Stuy. And before approaching from behind, he fired four shots through the closed window of the passenger side and fled, pursued by two Consolidated Edison utility workers who happened to witness the attack. Both officers died, and which obviously roiled the city already on edge from weeks of protest over police practices. So I guess we'll start with the horrific nature of the crime itself, of what we know, what happened, and that you have a man who his mission was to harm and kill police officers, right, Mike? And yeah. And started with there was an assault on his girlfriend,
mm-hmm. in Baltimore.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then coming to
and then a pledge to take some action against police officers. This gentleman, Ishmael Brinsley, had a long history of violence. He had run-ins with the law. He had spent time behind bars. And he was bent on making a statement, it appears. He was on social media saying anti-police things and then went to Brooklyn and, randomly found a couple of police officers, a couple of just officers doing their job on patrol, sitting in a patrol car and murdered them. There's no other word for it. He just committed cold-blooded murder, and then he took his own life. And different people are interpreting this very differently, and it's caused some enormous inflammatory rhetoric, some unbelievable comments from the police union head in New York City from former Mayor Rudolph Giuliani, mm-hmm. who blames the White House. You know, and yet, I think it is interesting that it comes now when we're all talking about, you know, the behavior of police officers, certain police officers in Missouri and in New York City and Ohio. And most police officers go out every single day and risk their life and worry that they're not going to come home and that a twist of fate could affect them this way. And this just proves how difficult and how risky the life of a police officer is. And we take it for granted and we forget it. And it, from that perspective, that's important to remember. But boy, the rhetoric and the reaction just this morning has been outrageous.
It has been, and we'll talk about that in a moment. It's you know, the word assassination has been used, obviously, and it certainly seems fitting in this case. It's but watching even as the mayor entered a room yesterday to give a press conference, and several police officers turned their back on the mayor as he walked in. There's defiance within the department. And then of course the outside rhetoric that is coming from officials formerly with the city, Mayor Giuliani, you mentioned. And I don't know. Let me go off on a slight rant here, but do you remember? Wasn't there a time where this would come much later? In the sense of that there would be that immediate moment where everybody would come together to try to mourn the officers, and there would be more of a time to say, oh, my God, what a horrible thing that happened. And then you start slapping each other around.
Well, yes, but social media gives us the ability for the instant upside the head slap. I could use another word, but I'm not. And, you know, it's like there's no sense of decency or decorum. I mean, we were talking about the little boy.
Yeah, but you say social media. You know, I'm sorry. You say social media, but this is a defiant act, even of the mayor walking into the room. This is an act of even a comment that is made by the former mayor of the city of New York hours after the attack. I mean, it just seems even in Newtown, we saw this sort of coming together of, oh my God, these children have been killed. Oh my God, these officers have been killed, and we look at that and focus on that for a moment and at least honor them before we start this viciousness.
I think the filter has just gone away. There is nothing holding anyone back any longer because they have a platform. And you can go on Facebook or you can go on Instagram, where apparently Instagram is where the messages from Brinsley were to begin with. And you can just express yourself and do whatever it is you want to do. And there is nothing holding you back.
Right. And that boils over. And that boils over to Giuliani saying whatever he says. It boils over to the police turning their back, and then that ends up on Facebook or Instagram or those other kinds of places.
Just feeds.
Right. It just feeds each other. So it's a real chicken and the egg kind of thing. But it doesn't really matter which came first. The fact of the matter is that people are behaving incredibly badly, acting out in ways that we have never seen before, and in ways that are just continue to be destructive to us, to the fabric of who we are as a people. You know, and you're right. People should be mourning, not blaming at this point.
I do want to get into, we'll talk a little bit just for clarification's sake of what Mayor Giuliani said, and then talk about some of the other aftershocks of this. We welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. Libby Post, Mary Alice Milgaard, and Mike Spain are our panelists this morning. We welcome your comments. Roundtable@wamc.org. We'll be back after this short break.
Support comes from Cary Institute of Ecosystem Studies, Millbrook, New York, Wildlife Conservation Society ecologist Jerry Jenkins to discuss the state of the Northern Forest, including a new atlas project that will guide conservation and education efforts. Friday, January 9th at 7:30 p.m., caryinstitute.org. Unusual wedding rings and more in Crawford Square, North Street, downtown Pittsfield. Working with New York Diamond District artisans to create customized jewelry. UnusualWeddingRings.com. Berkshire Stringed Instrument School of Lutery, Windsor Mill, North Adams, Massachusetts. Working to guide students through hand-building guitars, mandolins, and ukuleles. BerkshireStringedInstruments.com for class registration. And Homebrew Emporium, New Rochelle and North Greenbush, New York, West Boylston and Boston, Massachusetts, providing beer and winemaking equipment and supplies from beginners to professionals.
Welcome back to our roundtable panel. We're talking about the tragic killing of two police officers in broad daylight in Brooklyn and on Saturday, and the reaction to that. We had been talking about former New York City Mayor Giuliani, and I think, you know, we can say there's a lot of different people who are talking about it, and obviously there's a lot of comments out there. I think what makes this one so... for want of a better word, fascinating and I guess vital to the conversation is that you're talking to a man who ran the city of New York for so long. As a former mayor saying this, which is a little concerning, former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani said that he condemned President Barack Obama for anti-police propaganda in the wake of the murders of two police New York City police officers in Brooklyn. He was a guest on Fox News Sunday. He was asked if he had ever seen the city he once governed so divided. He shook his head and said, "I don't think so." He said the blame rests on 4 months of propaganda, which he said started with Obama, quote, "that everybody should hate the police," end quote.
Really?
He said the nationwide protest against several recent police-involved deaths led to one conclusion, quote, "the police are bad, the police are racist, they're wrong." Police, Giuliani said, are the people who do the most for the black people in America, in New York City, and elsewhere. On Sunday, Obama spoke out against the killing of the police officers Saturday, saying there is no justification for the slayings. I'm curious as to how we come out of the debate and the talk of the last 4 months and say and look at that as propaganda that could possibly put blood on the hands of this administration.
I think that some of these people will take whatever they need to take and twist whatever they need to twist in order to blame the administration, regardless of whether the administration had anything to do with anything. I don't think President Obama has ever said we hate the police.
Oh, you know, I mean, not come at all. On.
I
think we'd know that.
Yeah,
yeah,
I think it
I
would
think
have
someone
been
would have
blazoned on
it.
The post a long time ago. I mean, you know, so I just think that, you know, he's now with Fox. He gets paid for red
for
meat.
Spewing hate.
Right. For it's the red meat meter, you know, and they'll say whatever they want to say because there is no check. There's just no check anymore.
Well, and Giuliani, of course, when he was mayor of New York, instituted a number of policies about policing that, you know, were designed to improve the quality of life. And now those ideas, the broken window concept and all of that, have been pushed aside. Maybe he's, you know, a bit unhappy that his ideas, which were working, are now being rejected in favor of something else. But I think that Giuliani also, you know, your comment about Fox and his relationship there, I think, you know, he's maybe taking that a little bit too seriously. I saw him a couple of weeks ago on a Meet the Press program, and he was just out of control. He was yelling and screaming at whoever his opposition was and didn't allow the person to speak, could not get a word in edgewise, and he just seemed to boil over on the topic. And it was related to the Garner killing in New York City. But, you know, maybe something has gone on with Mr. Giuliani.
But I think I agree with what Libby said, too, about the, you know, when there's political opponents and there's issues, people will take anything, any shred of anything that happens and twist it to attack their opponent. and undermine their opponent. And what happens, I think, when you look at it all rationally, they lose their credibility. And that's exactly what you said, Mary Alice. Right. Giuliani has lost his credibility. He ran a city for a long time. He had a program that went after small crime. Some say it stepped all over people's civil rights. And that was a debate that kind of changed it after he left office. But, you know, he was effective. And
yeah, it worked.
But now he seems to be... maybe just out there becoming a personality in himself, I guess, who knows?
There's an interesting, and we only have about a minute and a half, but there's an interesting article in the Times this morning about how now that the protests that for weeks after a Staten Island grand jury declined to indict a white police officer in the chokehold death of a black man, civil rights rallies in New York City had gathered momentum and spurred dialogue among city activists and city officials. But the conversation in one shocking incident on Saturday took an unexpected turn. And this article goes into some discussion as how you change now that the tone after these officers are killed and how you still make that point about the relations between the people and the police officers and also take into account as to what has been done in the brutal killing of these two officers. Al Sharpton did try to talk a little bit about that yesterday, but it does seem to also be an interesting thing as to where these demonstrations are going to go.
Mm-hmm. And, Al Sharpton, whether you agree with him or not, I don't think people are going to take him too seriously because he's always at the head of the other demonstrations. So new leadership needs to emerge with the rhetoric that needs to be said so that to calm things down. But it's got to be somebody new.
You have to hear some calm new voices. There was one interview on NPR earlier this morning of the Brooklyn borough president, who's a former police officer, mm-hmm. who just called for calm, called for kind of a holding off, a little break in the protests, and let everybody honor the police officers and pay respects to their family, because that's really what we need to do now. And I thought he had the right tone.
I thought he was rational.
I'm going to pause you right there, and we'll come right back. We welcome your letters as well. Roundtable@WAMC.org. Roundtable@WAMC.org. We will come right back after this news break. Good morning, and welcome back to our roundtable panel. Let me introduce the panel to you. Times Union Associate Editor Mike Spain is with us. College of St. Rose Communications Professor Mary Alice Mulgard joining us, and political consultant Libby Post here as well. And a delight to have the three of you here. We welcome your letters. Roundtable@WAMC.org. We have been focusing so far on the killings of two New York City police officers on Saturday. And we have a lot of letters. I'll get to as many as I can in a few moments, and then we'll move on to some other topics and put this one to bed as well. Joe writes, please stop giving Mayor Giuliani credit for creating community policing. The Dinkins administration started it. Giuliani tried to end it, saying it did not increase arrests. He was told by police officials that it reduced crime, and he went along with it with no enthusiasm. He adopted it as his own when the crime rate plummeted. Judith writes, the inflammatory comments of Giuliani and others are egregiously irresponsible and only serve to fan the flames of unrest and hate. Shouldn't they be coming together to mourn and support each other? Certainly a question that we had a moment ago. We also got this from Gary. Just as not every young black man is a thug, not every police officer is a megalomaniac killer looking to abuse his or her power. We need to stop killing each other and start rounding up the 85 people in this world who own more wealth than the bottom 50% of humanity. Irene checks in and says the killing of the Pennsylvania State Trooper in October was a man with issues. Millions spent on his capture, no different than what happened in New York City on Saturday. The trooper killing has left the radar screen. Also, we got this from Leslie. Giuliani is the worst race baiter on the scene at the moment. He is a racist, and anyone that denies that is completely blind to his history. The foxification, I like that word, ladies mm-hmm. and gentlemen, the foxification of a large segment of America has done the most damage to this country in recent years. Unfortunately, there are many people who agree with the likes of Giuliani and the head of the police union. Also, we got this from Tom. Until someone in government or the justice system holds the police responsible for killing unarmed citizens, you're going to get reactions like this, which is a scary thought. We also got this letter from Suzanne, who says, as mayor, Giuliani is responsible for more cops' deaths than anything anyone else. How? By disregarding safety standards in the aftermath of the 9/11 attacks. And Wayne says, good morning and happy holidays. I must agree with the panelist, who is of the opinion that there needs to be new leadership in minority communities. Sorry, but you don't get to tell us who our leadership should be or when it should change. Al Sharpton is where he is because he speaks truth to power. May I remind you all of the fact that New York City paid millions of dollars to settle lawsuits for police brutality. So many letters. We didn't get to all of them, but that is a sampling of the letters that we got this morning so far on this issue. We do welcome your thoughts. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Anybody have any other thoughts in the letters that we just read, or do you want to move on? You ready to move on?
Go for it.
Okay, everyone is staring at me, so I assume that means that they want me to move on. So that is indeed what I will do. Okay, so next item up for bids is is the story that is about the North Korea terror list. The question is, as the United States moves closer to taking Cuba off the list of state sponsors of terrorism, President Obama said he would review whether to return North Korea to the list, part of a broader government response to a damaging cyber attack on Sony's, poor Sony, on Sony's Hollywood studio.
Oops.
Quote, we have got a very clear criteria as to what it means for a state to sponsor terrorism, and we don't make those judgments just based on the news of the day. That was Mr. Obama talking to CNN in a broadcast interview Sunday with Candy Crowley, I believe.
Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised, but I guess now that I read this, that 6 years ago, the North Korea was removed from the list of terror states or states that sponsored terrorism. And I'm surprised, too, that Cuba has remained on it. I don't know that they've really sponsored any terrorism in a long time, and that's probably one of the reasons why the Obama administration is trying to normalize relations with Cuba. But these things take time, these diplomatic machinations, I guess. But it sounds like the U.S. government is now saying pretty outright that they have pinned this on the North mm-hmm. Korean government. You know, that it was agents working for or the government itself, et cetera, probably over in China, you know, tapping into their Wi-Fi over by the border, maybe, I don't know, or going into China and really launching these attacks on a private corporation, an international corporation that actually has roots in Japan. But North Korea is stepping up its rhetoric, too. So it's kind of weird.
Well, you talk about North Korea's rhetoric, but North Korea came out over the weekend and said and denied that they had anything to do with the attack. And then, of course, on Friday, the president spoke to the nation. He had a press conference, a rather lengthy press conference, and talked about this. He expressed regret that Sony pulled the film, The Interview, from theaters. He told Candy Crowley on Sunday that he did not see this as an act of war, but he said the studio decided to cancel it after hackers threatened, and he said, I think it was an act of cyber vandalism that was very, very costly, and we take it very seriously. And since that time on Friday, when the president said that, Sony is now going kind of back and forth and saying, well, we'll show the film in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah,
we're just not quite sure how
video,
we'll do it.
Yeah. On demand.
We don't know exactly how we'll do it yet.
Through Xbox is a possibility.
Yeah.
There are a number of different platforms, but I listened very carefully to the CEO of Sony and trying to hide really from this decision, putting it on to the theaters who have chosen not to distribute the film. I realize that we no longer have the monopoly. The studios don't control the theaters any longer, but one hand did not take this action without the other hand knowing exactly what was going to occur. But I think also the president of Sony said something very interesting, and the president of the United States said just essentially the opposite. Sony said that they had contacted the White House. The president said nobody talked to me. So that I thought was a telling piece of information. Again, somebody didn't let the president know what was going on.
Well, there's a little backtracking going on, too. Sony, last Wednesday, had said that they weren't going to release the film and had no future plans to release the film. And now they're, I think, buckling to the reaction in Hollywood and people who... You know, that's the ironic thing about all this is people may not like the movie. The movie may be a dumb movie, you know, that you wouldn't ordinarily go see, but we sort of are predicated, our nation is predicated on the right of somebody to at least express themselves that way, and it's, you know, we defend it. We don't have to go buy the book or turn on the TV show or go to the movie theater and spend money on it, but someone has the right to express themselves.
Like dumb movies.
Right. Well, Dumb and Dumber, and then Dumb and Dumber 2 all did very well at the box office.
Oh, it's a little scary. But, you know, but yes, people were calling this artistic freedom and being able to express ourselves. And then we rail against the idiots that go on Facebook and say the most disgusting things. But that's their freedom
of
expression,
too. That's the right, exactly.
You know, so ultimately, we all have the right to do it. You know, my attitude is if we're going to, I mean, I used to think we needed to outlaw pornography, and then I realized, well, they're just going to come for us, you know, and they're not really going to go after the people who are subjugating folks. But it is, it's all about freedom of expression, and we know that these totalitarian states, you know, China included, North Korea, Russia, they don't want freedom of expression. They want one message and one message only, and for people to follow it. And for North Korea to say, we weren't behind this. However, we are going to be the U.S. citadels, whatever that means, will be attacked. I mean, come on. You know, they're looking.
And they're alleging that the White House was somehow responsible for
the movie.
Now, that really is an insult.
I think we need to send Dennis Rodman back. And
Not
so funny. Didn't somebody suggest that quasi-seriously?
Yes.
They talk to each other.
They have a relationship
because he's into basketball.
So I realize this is a tangent, but I still want to know the pitch meeting where this movie was pitched and somebody said, yeah, you know, that is a good idea. Let's do that.
Well, if they had backers and they had, and these guys are fairly well known, they probably used what you just said earlier. You know, we like dumb movies.
Right.
And this was really dumb, so I guess this is really going to make a lot of money.
Yeah, I don't think Seth Rogen thought that this was going to cause an international incident.
I also didn't realize, I had seen before all this, there was, you know, pre-publicity and so forth, and I guess I just realized over the weekend that he also directed the film, which is interesting. They have been, I think, their comments, both James Franco and Seth Rogen, who are the stars of the film, and in this case, Seth Rogen, also the director of the film, have been very very open and honest, and have played this as good as they can, as sort of being in the middle of this. The storm is like, well, all right, look, we just wanted to make a movie. We didn't expect for this to happen.
Well, you know, when we think something about Mary is a good flick, I mean, you know, it's like it's a taste level, and they're making movies for a certain group of people, like the people who like Dumb and Dumber or the stupid Jim Carrey films or the stuff that goes straight to video and we never see it in a theater ever.
But society generally governs, you know, quality, you know, you know, there's audiences that like this and there's audiences that like violent movies, you know, where monsters attack each other, et cetera, and it's a subculture and, you know, that's part of a free society, and I think It's what we bought into, but the benefits of a free society far outweigh some of the... Although lately with social media and the way that people rant and say outrageous things to everybody, you have to question whether we've really matured enough to understand what free speech means in the social media era, but it shouldn't be changed by law, governed by law. I mean, that's a big mistake. The founding fathers didn't know anything about Twitter, but they got it right.
You know, Seth Rogen's last movie was Neighbors.
Yeah.
I went to go see that.
Was it good?
No. I mean, what's good? I mean, was it Shawshank Redemption? No. Was it Casablanca? No. Was it funny and it made me laugh for 90 minutes in a movie theater on a hot summer day? Yes.
Yeah,
very
well,
much so.
And
the same thing with this. You know, I don't see, I think had not all this, gone out, it would not be unlikely for me to grab my 14-year-old nephew and say, okay, let's go see the thing. I don't know.
Laughing for an hour and a half is very good for one's soul.
Not a horrible thing.
No.
And by the way, I say that without knowing the rating. Of course, I wouldn't take my nephew if it was
Well, you can take him as an adult.
I say to his parents.
That's an important disclosure.
I say to his parents, I do not do that. We'll take a break. I'm going to get myself in trouble.
Uh-huh.
We'll take a break. We'll be back right after this.
Support comes from Community Foundation for the Greater Capital Region, working to connect donors with nonprofit organizations through philanthropic guidance and charitable stewardship. Your generosity, our stewardship, cfgcr.org. Norman Rockwell Museum, Stockbridge, Massachusetts, presenting holiday exhibitions on the art of Norman Rockwell and Mort Kunstler, nrm.org. Capital Care Medical Group, offering patients secure online patient portal with 24/7 access to medical records, scheduling requests, prescription renewals, and more, capcare.com. And Landmark College, offering a bridge semester starting January 27th, with short-term intensive support for college students who feel challenged by the demands of college-level studies, landmark.edu.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our discussion, our panel discussion this morning. Mike Spain, Mary Alice Mulgard, and Libby Post making up the panel this morning. And we welcome your comments. Roundtable@WAMC.org. Roundtable@WAMC.org. We do have a few on the topic that we just discussed. Let's see. We go to Jim, who says, I am waiting to see the musical version of the interview.
Yes. Yes, it will end up on Broadway.
Yeah.
How will they do that last scene?
Or an NBC special, at least.
Right. Can't be any worse than Peter Pan.
Well, last night was the Sound of Music sing-along.
Oh, yes.
But the real Sound of Music, not the...
The real Sound of
Not
music.
The fake one.
Jerry said on North Korea, I'm waiting to see the evidence, weapons of mass destruction, Vietnam, etc. We have a poor track record for truth. That from Jerry. We also got this saying, I wanted to ask why President Obama is frequently referred to as Mr. Obama. I remember a caller asking about this. I find it disrespectful. All right. And... at least in our purposes, I think we always start with president and then go off on various...
But I remember right after the Watergate break-in and when things were starting to really go south for Nixon, I was a kid, I realized that the Times stopped calling him President Nixon and started calling him Mr. Nixon.
Well, second reference would be Mr. Nixon.
Yeah.
And if you're convicted of a crime, the New York Times doesn't use the Mr. or, the title.
The honorific, whatever.
Right,
yeah.
And that's their style. So it's respectful to say Mr. Obama in certain media.
Mm-hmm.
It's more and more media no longer use that. They'll say President Obama the first time. But a little side lesson on journalistic style.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, I don't think there was any respect or disrespect implied in our comments at all.
Well, no, and it was also, it just seemed like, I understand what the caller is saying, though, because I do see a lot of times where people, of no matter what political figure we're talking about, that there is a constant reference to just the last name. Mm-hmm. You know, Obama did this, Obama did that, Obama did this. And we do sometimes, I think, as a quick trying to speed things up, take away the proper references. So point made. Let's move on to other stories that are that we want to talk about and making news. And Mike, let's talk about what's happening in the peaceful county that I reside in, Washington County, New York.
It's going to be even more peaceful.
Let me preface this. You know, last week we were all talking about the state awarding coveted licenses for behavior that had not previously been legal in New York, and that was, of course, casinos. Well, 2015 will be a similar process, probably on a lower scale, where the state will award 5 licenses to producers of medical marijuana. Under the bill in the legislature that was passed this year, there'll be 5, up to 5 farms allowed to produce medical marijuana within the state, and they will be carefully selected, and they will be able to put applications in. And a story today by our Capital reporter, Matt Hamilton, talks about a Washington County entrepreneur who has a plan to get one of those licenses and reopen what was once a thriving mushroom farm and offer jobs to people.
Fitting.
Yes,
yeah,
right.
It really does.
Regular mushrooms.
Right, but still. Right. But still.
And it's just off Route 313 in the town of Jackson in Washington County. Do you know where that is, Joe?
I know exactly. It's very near my home. I would even say downwind.
Well, so breathe deep.
That's fortunate. But, you know, just like with the casinos, it's local entrepreneurs getting the backers of performers in other states who already have marijuana factories or marijuana, you know, producing facilities. I don't want to say marijuana plants. More people have those. But anyways, he's working with a company out of TerraTech, which has medical marijuana facilities in Nevada and California. And this is going to be a process that plays out so that the state can start using marijuana for medical purposes only. In 2016, long awaited and long pushed by many people.
It'll be interesting to see because I guess once the governor came out with that this was a possibility, obviously there were going to be people who said, okay, this we can line up to be the suppliers for it, right? So that's what we're seeing now.
Exactly. We're seeing a process similar to when the state approved casino gambling. You started seeing people lining up to become the casinos. So not on the scale of casinos, but still it'll be big.
We will wait and see. But for a county that's so often looking to increase the tax base, you know.
Right. This should be a for-profit company. And, you know, they noted that the GE plant in Fort Edward is closing.
Right.
And
right.
There's other companies that have cut back in Washington County. And this could provide some much-needed economic development.
Oh, so proud of my town. let's
the green capital of Washington County.
Right. Is it Greenwich?
Yeah. Nice.
Put a new meaning for the green in Greenwich.
Yes, right. Very, very nice. Let's see. The other thing I wanted to I just want to talk about real quick is the because I'm not sure how much we've done on this, and I'm now waiting for my computer to load. I apologize.
What are we talking about?
That's a very, very good question. Hold on.
The analog version of the Times Union.
Yeah,
you don't have to wait
like
for
right
it
in
to...
front of you. Is that what Mary Alice has, right?
Turn the page.
What I was trying to do is there is a there was a letter that I wanted to read. We got 2 letters that I wanted to read from about our earlier conversation on North Korea and I'm sorry on the police. And here we go.
No, huh?
It should be mentioned, Mark writes, it should be mentioned and continue to be mentioned repeatedly that the man who killed the two police officers was not a normal person involved with the protest movement. He was a criminal-minded extremist who used the recent events as an excuse to commit murder. His history suggests that he would have continued to be involved in criminal behavior even if there were no protests. It's a good, it's an interesting point.
He was also mentally ill, and he had a gun.
Yes.
Another good reason for gun control or gun safety or whatever you want to call it. No, people shouldn't be able to just get guns.
And he had engaged in terribly antisocial behavior earlier. He shot his girlfriend in the Baltimore area and headed up north to carry out whatever plan it was that he'd envisioned.
The other two points that were made this on the interview film, Elizabeth said, I don't see the making of this film as a free speech issue. Given the recent history of this country internationally, making and marketing this movie was the equivalent of yelling fire in a crowded theater. While Robert says, ask yourselves if a Korean filmmaker turned out entertainment about assassinating President Obama or Bush, would you treat this as cavalierly as this and go on about the free speech without responsibility? Sony was irresponsible. What do you make of that argument?
Well, but it's a marketplace-driven kind of thing. If Sony can be a profitable business by making lousy art and lousy films, you know, that just means that the public is going to buy that. If the public doesn't go to these movies, they're going to make fewer of them, and they're going to make better movies. They make a lot of excellent movies by many standards. So that's the difference here. It's a free marketplace. Because there is a market for these dumb kind of films, they invest in them. But even the email correspondence between Seth Rogen and the Sony people showed that they had hesitations about it, you know, and he had to do a lot of convincing for letting him do it the way that he wanted to do it. But, you know, if they lost money, they wouldn't make another one like this. So it's up to the public to say, I'm not going to support this, or I am going to support it, and it's worth an hour and a half of laughter, and I'll forget it and move on.
And we don't know what those other countries are turning out in terms of films, because they never get here, and they don't get any kind of media exposure, you know. And so who knows? They might have already done something, you know, that depicts somebody from this country being killed. You know, I wonder if they had not named him specifically and just did a play on his name, Kim Jong-un, whatever, whether this would have been such an uproar or not.
We will come back and discuss many of these issues, I'm sure, in the week. My thanks to everyone who was here. Mike Spain, Rosemary.
No, she's not here.
Mary Alice Mogard and Libby Post. And we'll see most of you tomorrow. Thank you very much. We'll be back and continue with the roundtable after this.